He is Justin Davis, user experience designer and marginally malicious mentor.
See, I knew it, because he is marginally malicious. Yes, and he is Aubrey Goodman, web services, iOS, and really everything dev extraordinaire and malignant mentor.
Wow. So we were both hecklers. Then.
Yeah, exactly. Basically,
fuck you. Your business fails. Fuck you. Your business is shit. I don't even know what you're. What is what? Oh, you're.
Why are you here?
Guy. Never mind.
Oh, you're just. You're here to clean.
Your idea is terrible. Wait, you're the organizer.
Right. This is a little show we call Distilled. Welcome in. You can find it online at Distilled Radio or distilledpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at Distilled Radio. Find us in your grandmother's medicine cabinet in that little bottle that says "Do not touch."
And actually, if you do find one of those, just go ahead and send that to me.
Right.
For research.
Yeah, exactly. You can find me, Justin Davis, on Twitter at JWD2A and Aubrey at Aubrey Goodman. And, well, you are where you are. Mm. And we're happy that you are there and here all at the same time. So welcome in to this particularly provocative episode of
I suppose that's probably true.
of all of us. Right. So what we're covering this week, this month, this year,
last month
the time, the one where we covered Startup Weekend, so this is that one. Startup Weekend is or was happening
and will be
happening here in Tampa the second to last weekend of July, not the last weekend in July, mind you. Now are we gonna get through this intro?
No. We're very car talk this week.
Yes, very much so. Yeah, no kidding. So Startup Weekend, as we said, is a thing. It's an entity that And so we're gonna talk about Startup Weekend that happens and is happening here today.
The amazing thing about this is, A, neither of us has had anything to drink today. And I forgot B.
Right, yeah. A was plenty.
So Startup Weekend is a thing that happens twice a year in Tampa.
Yes.
Or at least has done for the last few years. it's a little bit like a startup bus, if you've heard us talk about that in the past. Basically a 48-hour-ish hackathon where you bring ideas or technology skill or design experience, or I don't know, you just want to be on a fucking startup company team. Yeah. And a bunch of folks, all the attendees, they all get together in one place, and it's kind of a sort of methodical, I'd say. They have like a process, and so they'll have the first night, it starts on a Friday night, and they get about, well, whoever, however many people in the audience want to, or attendees are the audience, they bring their ideas, they pitch them in 60-second pitches, all those ideas get written down onto large sticky notes, basically, and then those get put up around a big room, and after all the pitches are completed, everybody breaks for 5 minutes, and then they look around at all the various ideas. They get, I believe it's three votes.
Yep.
Each. You cast your votes on the top three picks that you'd like to see happen, or your favorites, I guess. And then from that, they choose the top 10-ish. And from there, they all the team captains, usually are the people who had the idea, did the pitch initially. They do a next round where they get all their team together. That's whoever they can muster behind their rally, behind their idea. Then they have approximately 48 hours to take that and make a product, published, available publicly. That's what publish means. And they pitch at the end of all this. They pitch for prizes and fortune and fame, usually just the prizes and
Yeah.
Yeah, just that.
Pretty much just that.
Sometimes they get a little bit of fame. Almost never get fortune. Although we do have a handful of examples of the fortune, fame, and what was the first thing?
Prizes.
Right. And so we have one particular example that I can think of in recent memory, which was Team Exmo 2 years ago, I think.
Two years ago.
I think that's right.
Yeah, that sounds right.
They made an app for managing
events,
conferences, and that sort of thing. And so they, since their success, and they won, didn't they?
They did win.
Did they place? They were at least in the top three. I don't remember if they won.
I can't remember.
Bumper Crop was the same year.
What?
And it was like Bumper Crop won.
Bumper Crop wasn't was start. Like was Bumper Crop Startup Weekend or Startup Bus?
Oh no, fuck! That's Startup Bus. They all run together, folks. Yeah. So apologies to everyone. And so, but regardless, Exmo came out of Startup Weekend. It was a great idea. They have since rebranded to Event Joy.
Yep.
And been accepted and already, I think they're already through.
Finished
Y Combinator.
Yep.
So they have moved out to Silicon Valley.
Yep.
And congratulations to Todd Goldberg and his team.
Yeah.
For that.
They did great work. They really did.
They do. I mean, their app is amazing. I'm surprised. Like, we were talking the other day about this clusterfuck organizational snafu with the Geekend event that always goes on the last week of every month, except for July, when we apparently are doing two, except for not two.
Except
there's a whole lot of and a whole lot of me sitting alone at a large table at Geek Breakfast this morning, wondering where everyone else was.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, we were talking about how the Geekend event was being managed on Eventbrite.
Yeah.
And Sylvia Martinez, a good friend of ours, friend of the show, longtime friend of the show.
Yep.
I said to her, I was like, "So why are we using Eventbrite? Why are we not using EventJoy?" And she's like, "Oh my God, why are we not? I didn't even think about it."
Right.
What is wrong with us?
I don't know.
Because I think the last one we did was EventJoy. Just for this one, and maybe it's like a cultural momentum thing.
All been
Eventbrite. Event
yep. Mm, yeah. Yep.
Maybe it's just wishful thinking on my part.
Yeah, possibly.
And obviously, Todd's.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, there have been a lot of interesting ideas came out of Startup Weekends.
I'm looking for the list.
I think they publish a list, but the funny thing about Startup Weekends and really a lot of the events that we throw and are frequent attendees of. There are lot of organization goes into the planning.
Yeah.
But as soon as the event happens, everybody's just like,
funk. It's like ants running from
it. It's like everyone's doing nose goes, looking around to see the one schmo who wasn't paying attention.
Bingo.
And is not touching their nose.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's this guy's turn. Oh yeah, let him do it. But, you would think there would be an alumni past winners list.
I'm certain there has to be. I'm just basically looking through the tweets to get an idea to jog my memory, to see what the teams were that was there. But so should we talk about some of the ideas, some of the things that were that we
some
saw
of the
there
things from this.
So what are the ones that
iteration
struck you?
Well,
not literally.
Well, no.
There was that one fight in the parking lot, but that's...
Yeah, we don't want to talk about that, though.
No.
But let's just, you know, Akira's car is fine.
Yes, it's okay. Thankfully.
No permanent damage.
No, all the blood was kept to the lot itself.
Yeah. For those of you who have any idea what we're talking about, which is, I'm going to go with none.
Right.
I sort of did it by proxy on Twitter. After the event was over on Sunday, one of the volunteers who's used to be one of our interns here at Tampa Bay Wave, who's now graduated to the Duchess of the Roundtable, and has sloughed off her intern jacket and given it off to someone.
Yes, she is. Molted her skin.
She's now just Akira.
Yes.
She had recently bought a car, and most of the volunteers and organizers, punked her or pranked her and filled the entire side of her car with sticky notes that spelled the word basic. I'm not sure there's an inside joke there.
Basic bitch.
Yes.
Yes.
Did they put bitch on the other side?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see the other side.
Yeah, so I saw a later video or photo that said basic bitch. Huh. So I guess basic bitch is a thing. I don't know.
I don't know what that is either.
Me neither.
Either of those things.
Right. I'm certainly not basic.
I bitch a lot.
But you're like more of an intermediate to advanced bitch.
Complex complainer.
Yeah. I wouldn't call you a basic bitch.
No, I've leveled up to C. Not A, not B. C.
C.
Complex complainer.
Complex complainer. Damn, that should have been my intro. Next time. Mm. Yes. So covered it in sticky notes. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen her face.
I wonder how long that took.
Oh, so long.
And, I showed this to Molly, and Molly's giving me all the tips. She's like, oh, yeah. So when you do that, you want to make sure you face the post-it notes with the adhesive forward so that when they drive, they don't come off.
It's like, fascinating.
God.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Like leading edge.
Right.
Towards the front of the car.
So that as it drives.
So I was thinking forward, like, how do you stick them on the car if the adhesive is facing away from the car?
Oh, no. On the leading edge toward the front of the car,
like a flap.
Yes,
that's creative.
Yes, and evidently clever. She's had
nicely done.
Yeah, she's had much experience in this realm.
Some experience.
Yeah, she's done many things to many people's cars. Mm. It's a rather vandalous streak of my wife's. Mm. anyway, redacted.
Except no, because I never seem to actually do any editing.
Yeah, it's better not to.
Send complaints to somebody else.
right. See that trash can in your office or your car or your house?
Just go ahead and put those there.
Right,
we'll get them. We'll get them.
We'll get them.
No, we'll get them.
That's direct mail to us.
Oh, how true that probably is.
Yeah. So there's a few teams that I thought were interesting. One of them, which was actually the winner, which I thought was pretty good, was Pitch a Tent.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I don't know this space very well, but it seems on its face very smart, and it's essentially a Travelocity or Expedia, Orbitz, whatever, for campgrounds.
Yeah, the ability to book your campground before you get there.
Yeah. And to book any campground anywhere, almost like a hotels.com, where you book any hotel anywhere, blah, 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 and a whole booking engine for it and all that. It's a good idea. And the people I talked to about it, and the reason they probably won is because the folks that know this space said, oh, yeah, this is such a, the space is so poorly represented technologically. They're almost never is online booking for campgrounds. It's call and we'll get you a spot. So just the idea that you build a booking it right.
I always thought campgrounds show up first come first.
Yeah,
sleep.
I don't know. Yeah, they don't really serve, do they?
No.
Unless you're glamping. If you're glamping, then maybe.
But isn't that camping with a K though?
What?
Glamping?
No, that's GLA.
No, but I'm saying like campground with a K.
Oh, right.
Where there's like power hookups and sewer hookups for your RV.
Exactly. As it should be. Yes.
Fuck this guy.
Fuck camping.
Camping with a K.
Yeah.
It's not camping with a C.
Yeah. This imitation
hard
camping.
To do.
Yeah.
Wait, is glamping where you're in a tent or no?
You're almost like in a house.
But it's like a tent that's like a fortress.
It's like
tent.
A tent with
like
AC.
The kind that you pull the thing and it pops open based on like a
CO2 but it has
inflator
like,
and it has a generator and an air
conditioning, a hard floor,
Wi-Fi.
Right?
Yeah,
a kitchen with a refrigerator,
you're
stove.
You're essentially sitting, sleeping, existing, what have you, in a temporary house that you probably could have used
after a soft-walled house,
Hurricane Katrina.
Exactly.
They would have had, like, that would have been a luxury tent.
Exactly.
For those people.
Yes.
Yeah. In the sense that a tent at all would have been a luxury.
Yeah. There's a glamp ground. Glamp ground. That's really weird. That's a really weird
word.
That is
a very weird word.
Glamp ground.
Gesundheit.
up north of here that's, like, wildly popular. They're, like, doubling it just because it's always booked. Anyway. So I thought that was a really good idea. So that was called Pitch a Tent.
I like that one.
Yeah.
That that would not have been my favorite to win.
Your favorite to win would have been?
I think my favorite to win was probably the I Squish Your Head game.
You can't be serious.
Well, so let's just say that the diversity and quality of pitches this year was ellipsis? Question mark.
Was redacted.
Let's just say what I can say about it is that the mentors heckling from the back, I think commonly stated thing among the heckling mentors was, I can't tell you how many times people have pitched that stupid fucking idea to me.
Yeah. Yeah. See, when you build these things for a living for other folks, you've heard a lot of ideas.
We would like to say we've heard it all, but...
No, you do occasionally hear new things.
Amazingly.
Yeah.
There's so many times, though, that people say, oh, so I'm going to need you to sign my NDA because I have this awesome idea. It's right. Basically Twitter. And then when they... But what they mean by that is it's not basically Twitter. It is exactly fucking Twitter.
Right. Exactly.
Except...
It's Twatter.
Except they... Which... They have no idea how to answer any of the initial questions that we ask. Let's talk about the mentorship questions for a minute.
Yep.
Because I think this is like the meat of what these people could really have benefited from. So like... Any of you fine people out there who are considering going to Startup Weekend, hopefully we haven't badmouthed it too much. if you plan to go, it's so much better if you are prepared and your idea isn't shot down in the first 20 seconds of your 60-second pitch.
Yes.
Because if it is, you're not going to get any traction. You might get a few votes
from you won't get
friends or people with throwaway votes or drunks. Which is seemingly about 20% of the mentors. Yep. I mean, what?
Yeah.
And so what were the... Do you recall the... there was five criteria, I think.
I have them somewhere.
We both have them in an email, I'm sure, but I don't want to pull that up.
Yeah.
Ideally, we would both have memories of these things.
No.
To be able to pull
you know, it's things like, what's the business model? And
is
how...
Is there a market?
Right.
Not just what... What's the market? Is there a market? Because that's the first question you ask. Is there a market?
Yeah.
Do people actually need the thing you're talking about?
Right.
So that's one.
That's one.
Have you asked anyone if they want what you are talking about? That's another
one.
They're, that's sort of the same, but that's more like validation. So you say, so do you have this problem? People say, no. You say, okay, we pivot. People say, do you have this problem? They say, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's sort of a problem. So then maybe you go with it. But if they say, oh my God, yeah, I hate it when that blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Then you can say, okay, well, second question. What do you think about this kind of a solution? Or would you buy this? Or have you heard of anything that already does this? That's another one. That's a big one. Can't tell you how many times I've heard pitches at Startup Weekend where they pitch
something
that is the same as something else.
And then they get nailed to the wall by a judge who says, what are the competitors? And they go,
and they say, oh no, there aren't any. And then the judge says, what about the three that I know of offhand?
Right. Wrong go.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's quite a lot of pre-gaming, I suppose you could do. This is different than the pre-gaming the mentors do.
Right. Yes. Yes.
But, you know, having an answer to a lot of these questions.
Very important.
There can even be horror stories. Without naming any names, there was a bit of a drama this year. Wherein somebody pitched their idea at the finals, like at the finals on Sunday, pitched the idea and, oh no, it was practice pitch. That's what it was.
Okay.
Before the final pitch and the practice pitch.
I didn't see that.
The practice judges, who are really just the organizers who have done this many, many times and know how to identify value in companies' pitches, etc. Their advice to the team was essentially, so I think you need to do this and that and this and that. And they had like a kind of a checklist. But then instead of just being gracious and acknowledging that it's a practice pitch and the whole fucking point is to get feedback on how to improve your pitch for winning at Startup Weekend,
yeah,
which winning at Startup Weekend is essentially, if you have a decent idea, you have measured if it has traction, you have produced a product in a short amount of time that you think is an MVP that you think maybe people might want to use, and all that. These people said, fuck your advice. They said, no. I know that, you know, it's like, okay, there was a condescending answer from the pitching, from the team.
Wow.
That said, I respect your opinion and all, and we'll go ahead and do that for your little competition.
They didn't say it that way.
On stage.
Those words?
Those words.
For your little competition?
For your little competition here, we'll follow these. We'll follow your advice. But when we actually go out, this actually said out loud, when we go out and do this business, we're going to do it our way because we know how to do it.
Oh, God, you have to tell me what team that was later. Oh, my God,
and
I want to know.
And the worst part of it all in this particular example is that this particular team had the right answers for all of our questions.
Right.
But the person doing the pitching never included the technology, like the people who were doing, like the rest of the team.
Yeah.
It was like one or two people who like owned the whole presentation generation part, didn't ask, like didn't talk about the product that they had made. They did make a product.
Wow.
Wasn't in the pitch. One of the feedback things was, hey, y'all made a product. Maybe you want to talk about it.
Yeah. Might show that kind of
the idea here.
Right.
So yeah, you know, more about that. Oh, and you might want to use this one word that really perfectly describes in the audience's mind, maybe like the context around your app. And they're like, no.
Wow.
This isn't about that.
Gah. Oh man. So, I have a couple guesses.
It takes all kinds.
Which team that might have been. Yeah. But
so you know, most of the time people are, you know, receptive to the to the pitch, or to the practice pitch feedback, because what they want is to win. They want to get out there and make a product because they have put in all this time to design this and got to the end, and damned if they didn't just say fuck your advice.
Wow. That's wild.
So it really takes all kinds. And I mean, sometimes we've seen some terrible apps. But we've also seen some pretty interesting apps.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah.
We'll see. Last year, I guess the last Startup Weekend I went to, the winner was the Living Warfare app, which is a game where you shoot your friends with your camera, I guess.
I think so.
And then they get shot points, I don't know, something like that. There's you just literally take photos of your friends with like their face in the...
Yeah,
crosshairs and it somehow gets like you get points for headshots or body shots or whatever it is.
Yeah,
and it's kind of a fun little game. The idea, I think, it all comes down to like the who and the what. The who matters almost as much as the what.
Absolutely.
And in this particular case, the idea came from I was like a 13-year-old kid.
Yeah, something.
And so he of course pitched,
right?
The final pitch
and got the heartstring vote.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But you know, it's a tactical decision.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
yeah,
you put your least charismatic person up there, you're probably not gonna win.
Right. Yeah, you heard that's a bad idea. Yeah. Right.
Any mention, like worthy of mention, apps or submissions for you for the last?
Well, Pitchitent. Over the
not
past
year, but
past years,
just in general, yeah. Some interesting apps. I've seen, I don't know, probably half a dozen that seemed like they were pretty.
Yeah, cool. I have.
Spacing on what they are now.
I can't remember a single one of them now. I remember one of the teams that I worked on way back when. I've done a ton of Startup Weekends. This was probably the eighth or ninth one that I've done. I've been doing them since my first one was probably 2008 or 2009.
Oh, wow.
And I helped organize two of them in Nashville well before I ever moved here. And nice. One of the teams that I was on, I think the first year that I did Startup Weekend, I was on a team and we had a great idea. It was called the product was called Skipping Line. And, essentially what it was is it was, it was mobile. It was ordering food from like a local establishments, right? So like I could order from online from whatever. But the really cool aspect to it, and honestly, it was obviously, or I think this was the better part of it than just sort of online ordering, because it was initially called Office Hero was the name of the app.
I like that.
And the premise of it was this, is it was like, have you ever been working in an office and you're about to go to lunch and you're like, hey, I'm going to go to Pita Pit. Does anybody want anything? Right? People do this all the time.
Yep.
The last thing you want to hear is somebody say yes.
Yep.
Right? Because now it sucks. Because now you're like, okay, fine, give me your order.
Write and then you got to order and give
me money. And then I have to get your change separate so I can give you back exact change from whatever it is.
We just all say, universally, the rule is you ain't getting no change.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you only have 50? Sorry. Order a lot.
I guess you're buying for me.
Right. So so the idea was, the way the app was built was you would have all these restaurants in there that would be hooked up into this online ordering thing. You could start a group order in the office. You could initialize a group order. Everyone could order whatever they wanted from the restaurant, pay individually. It would batch that order, and when everybody had ordered, it would then dispatch it to the restaurant. Everyone had paid individually from their desk with their credit card, and then you would walk up, skip the line, grab your lunch, and go.
This sounds epic. Why does this
right?
not...
I know.
Did it not go anywhere?
It didn't go anywhere because it died at the same place that most things like this die.
The day after? The Monday?
Well, no.
After.
It actually went on for a while.
Oh, okay.
So much so that we ended up firing some people from the team and trimming down the team and, like, formalizing stuff and all this kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
We couldn't get past the API, the integration to the point of sale.
Fucking point of sale.
Yeah. We didn't know, because what it was going to require is, and this is, these are the things you learn at events like this, is that, like, okay, this is an awesome, epic idea. How do you go to market? Well, okay, you can go sell every restaurant a piece of equipment. You could get their fax numbers and you could fax the order in, but how do you do the payment? Since it's now an electronic payment, you've got to dispatch payment to them somehow. So now you have to get banking integration with them. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, exactly. So it's not as a, this is a thing like point of sale integration stuff. This is why this is always such a pain in the ass.
They don't want to give you that food until you pay.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
If you're doing like an escrow thing, temporarily everyone pays into one account and then that account pays to the individual restaurant.
Yeah.
How do you know that you got it? How do they get a confirmation?
Yeah.
Do you have like a credit card that you pay with?
Yeah. And you know, I guess you could actually you could probably do it in a different way. I mean, nowadays, I think we're actually getting close to having API level integration in a point of sale. I think it's actually going to happen in the next 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
there's so much
wide
demand, and I hear so many companies starting up
working.
Like,
yeah.
This problem is awful. We need to solve this problem. And they're all really good at identifying the problem.
Right.
None of them is really good at having them. Even the technology, like, people have good solutions to that.
Yep.
But as a technologist, I say often, technology is the easiest part of most of this world.
Yep.
Once you have the technology, the hard part begins. The hard part is adoption.
Adoption.
Getting customers.
Going to market.
Getting people to use the thing, whether it's a B2B or B2C or B2B2C.
Yep.
Whatever it is, you're not...
Right. Channel partner,
like,
participation.
Unless you have that channel partner on lock. Like,
right.
If you happen to be good friends with Chris Sullivan, and he is all about putting all of the OSI world around this idea, then great. Because that way, now you can just get all the Outbacks and the Carrabba's and everything under that umbrella can now start to use that system.
Yeah.
But that's that big fish, and he's going to need a lot more proof than your MVP.
That's it.
A lot.
Yeah. It's not a technology problem. That is a really good point. This is a great thing to end on, actually, is that because when you're talking about these startup weekends, I mean, a lot of people who aren't technologists, who haven't built stuff, think, oh God, that's so hard to build. That's just so much code. It's so difficult to understand.
Nope.
That stuff's actually, once you get over the initial heap of bullshit you have to go through to understand it, it all becomes very simple. I mean, it's like integrate into a point of sale.
Yeah.
Technically, not very difficult, probably.
It's an API call.
Right.
Most likely.
Yeah.
It might be at worst like hardware that you have to put in the on site as a proxy that you interact with your
right.
hardware and it interacts with something else.
Yeah.
But
it's not, that's not the hard part. The hard part is getting Micros or Aloha to say, oh yeah, we'll do this. That it conversation is. Between people is infinitely more difficult than the technology will ever be to build.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So for those of you who are interested in going to a startup weekend or pitching or really even just starting a company at some point, the very most important thing that you have is that connection. If you don't have a connection with somebody who would plausibly be interested in hearing about your technology, then it doesn't matter if you build the technology.
Right. It'll go in the heap with all the other scrap technology.
Just like it'll go on top of my $1 billion of copyright that I just have sitting in GitHub.
Right. Yeah.
According to some other people, not even me.
Yeah.
They're like, man, you're sitting on $1 billion in equity. And I'm like, yeah. Great.
That's awesome. Could you squeeze the money out of that GitHub repo for me?
Yeah. Who are you going to call about it, though? That's the problem. So you got to have somebody to run with it once.
Yeah.
If you have a ball, that's great. You need the field, you need the ball, you need the players.
Yeah.
So if you don't have the players, the ball just sits there on the 50-yard line.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, go to a startup weekend.
And really, also, just listen to people because they don't tell you bad advice. They tell you good advice.
Right. No one's out there to derail you or intentionally sabotage you. Listen, be humble, take advice, and you will be better for it. Trust me.
Most definitely.
All right, see you.
Thanks for listening, folks.